you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate the Star Wars movies 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from ComicBookAlex.com.
I'm Cece Pleasants from GentlePanFlutes.com.
Is that a real thing?
No.
It is now.
I don't know. It might be.
Well, thanks for coming back, Cece.
Thank you for having me.
Today you're back for minute 122 of Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. It starts with Rey and Leia hugging on a runway, and it ends with R2-D2 projecting a map with a missing piece. And writing down Rey and Leia, I wanted to write Rhea, which I guess would be their
Leia.
If somebody had done a coupling name for them, but they're not. This isn't a coupling hug. This is a strong character.
They're not
sharing an emotional bond hug, but they're not.
But if they had like a "we're two strong lady friends" name,
I guess you could
have that.
Yeah,
this is the 1900s.
Exactly.
Right?
Also, I guess as a follow up to yesterday's show, this morning we watched the footage of Rey's hand.
Yes, I had a. I won't call it a correction. I'll backtrack my statements a little bit. It does look like just, you know, her hand is a bit weathered from being in some fights and
battle
stuff.
Battle damage, yeah.
Her shoulder is a little bit dirty. It looks consistent. It looks intentional. It's not just a weird crone hand that I was startled by.
Crone hand. Crone hand the barbarian. So the minute starts off with poor sad Chewbacca.
Yeah.
All so sad that his master is gone.
Yeah. Note that, like, Wookiees and droids are not invited to the party where everybody's out, like, yay, out, like, you know, like, kind of popping bottles and stuff out on the hangar. And then inside, here's the robot and the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's, like, his BFF just died.
Yeah. He doesn't want to be celebrating.
No.
Well his life debt is null and void. He should be celebrating.
That's true.
Like, that's it. I'm free.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because now that does the life debt thing still apply after the things of Solo? They never said the life debt bit.
Hmm.
You know what we're talking about when we say the life debt that Chewbacca is
right
obligated to be his servant.
Yeah. I guess not. Maybe that's not a thing anymore. In which case, I'm kind of glad that's too. I don't know. I'm weird that it's been such a, you know, obviously we all knew it for some reason for so long, but if it's gone, I'm kind of okay with that. I like the idea of them just being pals hanging out rather than being like, well, I got to hang out with this guy because
forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought I let that go a long time ago. I hope they did as well.
You wrote a letter. You're like,
yeah, you know,
dear
what?
Lucasfilm, enough with the life debt.
So I was going to ask is, do you think that's Peter Mayhew in there? Because he's sitting down.
Because he's not sitting.
He's not doing anything.
Probably. I think, you know, in this movie, they tried to make it as much... they tried to utilize him as much as possible because they knew that there wasn't, you know, he wasn't going to be able physically to kind of do that much more. So I think any shots where they could have him kind of, you know, stationary, I think they used him. So... Mm. I would bet that it would be.
he's crying. Yeah. I didn't when I watched it the first time, I didn't realize that he like does sort of make an audible little cry sound.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
Mm. Mm-hmm. It is.
He should be like, oh, yeah. You know, like howling up in the air.
At the moon.
No, that's his party sound. Once he goes back out, he decides to drink his troubles away.
Yeah.
You know, does a keg stand and then howls at the moon.
Chewie up doing a headstand would look weird because his fur would be all going the other way.
You'd find his like bald patches.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. See his scars.
Yeah.
any genitalia that was hidden otherwise.
Mm. Oh, I don't want to think. I'm barely getting over seeing his hands and fingernails. I certainly don't want to think about his naughty bits.
Yeah. Well, then we get the R2-D2 subplot, which I had forgotten about, and I'm not necessarily happy that it came back. The way that they handled R2-D2 in this movie is a little bit, it's not one of the strengths.
Yeah, it was weird. It was sort of like, I mean, maybe you guys actually know why R2 woke up in that moment, but mm-hmm. I was like, is it Wookiee tears? Like, why? Oh,
that was the magic. Broke the spell.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah. My dumb theory would be that maybe the force thing that happened or something. Mm.
The force is always an all-purpose excuse you know, the
force,
in Star Wars.
It's the force thing, obviously. Yeah. And Rey like learned how to do the force and she did some lightsaber moves. And so maybe if like the lightsaber was working, maybe that made R2 wake up because he was like, I gotta go.
Maybe if it's like, oh, if a class 7 force person comes, wake up.
Class 7.
Suddenly like, ding! Like the alarm.
I do like the idea of the lightsaber hilt being like a fob for R2-D2. Mm-hmm. That like he can't really boot up without it being in range.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was like, boop, boop.
Yeah. Right. I never understood why he was in this coma to begin with and why he wakes up from it. And it's so...
I understand why. I'm not happy about it. I'm not happy that I understand it. And I'm not happy with why. Mm-hmm. It's basically, he's just been, for like, you know, the last 10 years or so, he's just basically been like chugging away at this problem, trying to find the map. Like what they know about Luke Skywalker and where he is, trying to match that to the copy of the Imperial database that he got in Star Wars when he downloaded the whole Imperial network.
Uh-huh.
So he's got this like galactic map and he's trying to match what they know about where Luke could be to that map.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And so when BB-8 first shows up and they take the thumb drive, they put it in the big computer and they look, you know, up on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
Then that data goes into the data that R2-D2's been compiling and he starts matching that against...
Wait, so they purposely do that? They say, okay, let's put this in R2, this data.
They don't put it in R2, they put it in... They connect it to the computer on the table, which he can talk to, presumably.
R2 can talk to the table?
Yeah.
R2 talks to the table, we all know that.
Yes, I forgot it's Star Wars.
And so then he finally has a match basically at this point that he's basically been shut down doing calculations for years and years. And then he was like, oh, okay, I got it.
I got it except for that little piece that.
Well, that is a, so that's like, I think that's a dramatic effect on R2's part.
Oh.
Because he knows what the map, basically like if I had a map of where somebody was in Kansas, but I didn't know where it was, and I'm looking, I'm like, oh, and then I was like, oh, this is a map of Kansas, and that's where he is. Then I would put up, like, to make a big dramatic show of it, I'd put a map of the United States with Kansas missing and be like, ta-da, and, like, slap the map into Kansas, where the slot where Kansas would be.
Yeah.
And that's what R2 is kind of doing here.
He's being sassy.
Yeah. He's doing a, you know, it's like a PowerPoint, essentially. He's leading, you know, he's making it...
I like R2's flair for the dramatic.
Yes, classic R2.
So he really could have woken up any time, but he wanted to wait until it was dramatic also.
Well, he was processing.
Yeah.
I think he just realized the match, and then maybe he figured out the match.
He wanted to wait until they were all back from Starkiller Base.
Well, yeah, then he was like, all right, let me wait until everybody's here so I can tell them.
Yeah.
I'll just shut back down and wait until I hear a noise.
Okay. I don't necessarily buy it,
but
it
was Wookiee tears that woke him up.
It was, you were right.
We heard Chewie crying.
Yeah.
Oh, his chest rising.
He's like, I know that noise.
I've heard Chewie cry many times.
Yeah.
After beating him.
I beat him at the chess.
So R2 comes to life, boop, 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 and 3PO says, "You found what?" And he goes, boop, 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 and he says, "How dare you call me that?"
And he like, smacks him. Yeah.
Yeah.
What did he say in that little beep beep that got 3PO so angry?
He called him Kevin James. No, Kevin James is great. It's just
he's one of our biggest Patreons. So don't insult Paul Bart.
We wouldn't be where we are.
I love him. I'm just saying that C-3PO doesn't.
Right. C-3PO is too uptight to enjoy the nuances of Kevin James.
He's too fancy. Right. He's too fancy for
the other thing I like about that is R2's first instinct upon waking up is to insult C-3PO.
Right. Yeah. Really. Like. This guy's been in a coma for like 10 years, and then the first thing he does is curse out his friend, who then slaps him, you know.
Yeah.
But they're back.
It's like, hey, we're buddies, and we're back. We're doing our buddy comedy routine.
Yeah, right. the smacking him seems very much like they're trying to conjure up the original movie, but now it seems so cruel now. It seems like...
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Does he smack him with the red arm? I can't remember.
Oh, ooh.
Is it the red arm or the gold
arm? Can't control it.
Yeah.
He just blames him. Oh, that wasn't me.
Maybe that's why you had to change your back, because R2 was like, you can't keep that arm if it's going to keep smacking me.
Maybe he insulted his arm.
Oh,
yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, well, yeah.
That's what he was like, oh, R2-D2, you found something? And he's like, who the hell are you? Yeah.
You red-armed weirdo. How dare you call me that?
And then he hits him, and he's like, oh, it's C-3PO. Yeah. I recognize that.
I'm a little disappointed Leia doesn't react to R2 being alive.
Yeah, really. It's another one where it's like, she's like, R2-D2's found something. And she's just like, all right, show me. And not like, oh, R2-D2's alive. Yeah. Like that guy who's been in a coma under a blanket in the corner for 10 years.
She's so upset.
Yeah, guys. I guess compared to...
Love of her life died like 4 minutes ago.
Yeah. And we also don't know. Well, Leia doesn't necessarily have the same friendship with droids that like Luke does. Like, we know Han doesn't like droids.
Right.
So maybe she's just like, oh, wow, you got your old TRS-80 running up again.
Yeah, but I mean, she's, remember, you know, she entrusted R2-D2 with the plans and with the,
just
with the message.
He was there.
I guess so. But like,
I'm sure if R5-D4 had been there, she would have trusted him to do it.
Mm.
I think they're BFFs. I think she's excited. I think she's just, everything is eclipsed by her feelings about Han right now.
Yeah. You know. And her son, too. Her son is...
Yeah. You know, oh, yeah.
Her son killed her husband.
Right. She's got a lot on her plate right now, you guys. Yeah, we got to give her a break.
That's true. Yeah.
For not recognizing this appliance. That,
her favorite toaster. I'm just kidding. I love him. He's so sweet.
Who,
R2? R2.
How do you feel about BB-8?
I like BB-8. BB-8 is cute. I have a theory about BB-8.
Okay.
And you're not going to like it.
Mm.
I think that BB-8 is R2 and C-3PO's son.
I like that, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
And it doesn't, like, gender doesn't matter because they're droids, right? Yeah. So, like, and I think they wanted, you know, so I think there's a little piece of each of them in BB-8.
BB-8 was manufactured somewhere with pieces from them.
Yeah,
it's not like R2. It's
like,
not like R2 built him inside of his processing unit.
Oh,
and then,
that would be cool.
And
too.
And then like 3D printed BB-8.
Mm. Ooh, I like that.
Yeah,
actually.
I like that one too.
That's
actually
better.
Does he have a 3D printer?
I'm sure.
Okay, yeah.
Come on.
When he needs one, it'll show.
Yeah, exactly. If he can squirt oil and fly across the room, I'm sure he can. You know, print a fork.
Yeah. Print a fork. So I like this. Did you have this theory from the start, or did you just...
No, just watching the minutes, like, very closely.
Yeah.
And I was like, because BB-8 and R2 have an immediate relationship.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're, and BB-8 clearly wants something from R2. Mm-hmm. Like, BB-8 is like, hey, man, hey. And it feels like a kid who, like, wants his dad to, you know,
and R2's just cold and distant.
Right.
Yeah, and R2 is working on the calculations for the universe, apparently.
He's been reading the paper for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Go ask C-3PO.
Yeah. I'll tell you, that does fit with my daughter calls him BB-8. I'm on board with that theory.
Great.
Is that another reason why the BB is supposed to be there?
Maybe.
Because he sounds like baby.
Mm-hmm.
BB-8. Well, that does give... Because 3PO, when he goes up to Leia, he says, R2 has some much-needed good news.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I was like, well, they just blew up Starkiller Base, so it's not like they're totally lacking in good news.
Yeah, I mean, most of the rest of the crew is out there, you know, getting drunk and high-fiving.
Getting partied. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's been an up-and-down day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess for Leia especially.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For her specifically.
Her so, yeah, son
good news for you.
Yeah.
Killed her.
Right.
The love of her life.
Yeah.
Her what husband? Is... Husband? We think husband, right?
Ex-husband.
Well, but we know another legal status, I guess.
Right.
Common law spouse.
Common law spouse. Mm.
Her ex common law spouse.
Yeah.
So romantic.
Her space domestic partner.
Yeah. I was just going to say something.
Much needed good news.
Much needed good news, 3PO. Oh, what do you think 3PO thinks of Kylo Ren and all that? Because he must have grown up around that whole Solo family dynamic and stuff. Think he has any opinions on him?
I wonder if he liked him, because I bet Kylo Ren, when he was Ben,
mm-hmm.
was like kind of like buttoned up and, you know, like
mm-hmm.
almost uptight. Yeah, uptight. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He seems high strung.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Neurotic. Yeah.
Although Kylo Ren is obsessed with Darth Vader, and Darth Vader built C-3PO. That might be like the lightsaber for him. He might also, like, maybe C-3PO, like, this is how episode 9 is going to go, that Kylo Ren is going to be being evil, and then C-3PO is going to come out and be like, stop that at once. He's gonna be like, mm-hmm. oh, that's Darth Vader's, you know, personal droid is telling me to stop. I guess I'm wrong. And C-3PO is going to be the savior of the whole thing.
So C-3PO will say, behave, otherwise I'll have to destroy you with my magic.
Right.
And then
gonna get all afraid and
that's
run
the
away.
End of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Directed by George
Bye-bye.
Lucas.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome, everyone.
Yeah.
I do like the R2-D2's kind of boot up noise is kind of the opposite of the times where he gets zapped and mm-hmm. you hear that kind of like wild, like
taper winding.
And this is kind of the reverse. It's like he's, you know, coming back from nothing essentially, which is nice.
I think it should have a definite distinctive startup sound, like a Mac or something, you know, where you turn it on and it has like a,
yeah.
Welcome to R2-D2.
Yeah. Congratulations on purchasing your astromech droid. Right. They like do the settings every time.
Para español, empremados.
Oh, you have to download all the updates and stuff.
Right about it.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So, Cece, what you said you were a Star Wars fan going back. What are your earliest memories of Star Wars?
Well, I was a small child. I think I actually saw the last one first. So I saw Empire Strikes. No, I saw... what's the last one with the Ewoks?
Jedi.
Jedi.
Return of the Jedi.
Oh, God.
You're a Star Wars fan.
I have the worst memory. So I remember the Ewoks.
Sure.
Like that was sort of my, because I think that's the one I saw in the theater. Mm-hmm. And now everyone knows how old I am. Very old.
Mm-hmm. Well, you saw the revival in 2000.
And I loved the Ewoks. And then I became obsessed with it as a child and wanted to see all of them. So, mm-hmm. and then I was very upset by Empire Strikes Back and I couldn't believe it. But then I already knew that obviously Han came back to life and it was okay. But and then I won a Princess Leia coloring contest.
Wow.
Which was the first thing that I ever won.
Wow.
Ever in my life. Maybe the last thing as well, because I'm really not good at games and trivia. Yeah. So then it was, you know, it was kind of part of my childhood. Like that.
Did you watch the Ewok cartoons?
Yes. Hmm. Yes. We are the Ewoks.
Wow.
I believe you.
Yeah.
That was the song.
Have you seen them since?
No. Are they terrible?
I don't know. I've never seen a single minute.
Somebody was just talking about going back and watching them on YouTube or something.
Yeah, with their kid.
All out there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta try that.
Yeah. They were so cute and fluffy. I know. Mm-hmm. Like now you watch it. I watched it years later. So when the prequels came out, my mom, who has since passed away, but she didn't remember Star Wars at all. Like because my brothers are 10 years older than me. So they were like kind of too old to be into it. And I was into it, but not like I had toys and stuff like that, but it wasn't, I don't know. I was kind of on my own a lot as a kid. Not that my parents weren't great, but they would just let me. They'd be like, yeah, here's your thing. Go play outside with it.
Well, the R2-D2 style of parenting.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Hands off.
So they didn't. We watched a lot of other things together, but not Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And so when the prequels came out, my mom was like, I've never seen Star Wars all the way through. So we watched, I think we just watched Star Wars. We didn't get
it. And she was like, that's enough.
And she was, she was like, and watching it through her eyes, I was like, oh, this really doesn't hold up for her. Like, I still love it, obviously, but it didn't. She was like, this is dumb. Why do you like this?
She got concerned.
Yeah. Right. And then because me and a bunch of my friends were going to like wait outside in line forever to go see the first prequel and what, you know, blah, blah. And So I felt a little dumb about that. But, and then the prequel was terrible.
How many times did you see Phantom Menace in the theater?
Once.
Just once?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some people saw a lot more trying to convince themselves that
it was good. I couldn't. I had to let go immediately and just you know, remember that I had these three movies that meant a great deal.
That's a good attitude to have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
I started a petition to boycott the next movie and to have the next movie remain. I really went overboard with it. I was, you know.
I get it. It does. Like, it did. I mean, it hurt. It hurt my feelings.
But you did see the other prequels.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just hoping that, you know, maybe everyone. Something better would happen.
Right. Yeah.
How about you guys?
I saw The Phantom Menace 13 times in the theater.
Oh my God. Really?
Yeah.
Well, 12 in the original run. And then once when it came back in 3D.
Wow.
Is that the record? Who's
seen it? No, somebody saw it more than me.
That we've talked to.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone has seen it. Somebody out there.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people that enjoy them. Is that correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I still like The Phantom Menace. I find it charming. I don't like the other two as much.
Yeah.
Phantom Menace has a weird, and it's partially because of the, you know, my experiences at the time, like Star Wars kind of coming back and being a big thing again, and the excitement leading up to it kind of outweighs the actual movie experience. And there's... and it's goofy, and I'd rather have something be kind of bad and goofy than bad and taking itself seriously, which I feel like the other two do a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, overall, I'm not, you know, now the state that we're in now, it's a lot easier to forgive the sins of the prequels because it's like, that's okay. Star Wars is fine now. Like, we're doing all right. Like, sure, there were some movies that weren't as good. Who cares? Like, we got new ones coming out all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a good, I think we're all in a good place.
We are in a good place. Yeah.
I mean, your neighborhood. It's very nice.
Well, this is great. Yeah. I mean, obviously, Adams Hill is wonderful. Shout out. But also, Star Wars is alive and well. We're doing great. And exactly. Listen, even if you don't like the new ones, you still got the old ones.
Right.
We still have these three great movies.
For now. Did you see Solo or Last Jedi?
I did. Mm-hmm. I did. Solo was... Again, I am such a huge Han fan. I love... Mm-hmm. He will always be Harrison Ford to me. Mm-hmm. So it was like... I felt like it was kind of a fun action movie, which I'm a huge fan of. I just love a fun romp. Mm-hmm. And I like fantasy. So all fine. But I... It bummed me out a little bit. Just that he's not, you know.
Harrison Ford.
Yeah. His voice didn't seem right. Like it just didn't seem right. Mm-hmm. It felt weird.
Yeah, but a couple of people have said if Solo wasn't a Star Wars movie, they would like it more.
Yeah.
Essentially.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Like if it was just a space heist kind of adventure movie that wasn't Han Solo, it was just some other guy.
Right.
That it would be well regarded. People would be writing about it.
Yeah.
Still.
I can see that.
I mean, people are still writing about it, but
yeah.
In a good way, I mean.
Yeah. And I think I need to see Last Jedi again because I didn't.
You just saw it the one time in the theater?
I just saw it the one time. And it bummed me out. Mm-hmm. And I know that I am clinging to things, that I am clinging to feelings and whatever. And so I think I need to see it again with a more open mind and let go of
your preconceived.
The idea that they blew up everything that I loved. Mm-hmm. Took it away from
me. Once you can get past that,
yeah.
Right. Then I think it's a pretty good movie.
It's fine. Once your feelings are gone.
They set it all on fire.
Yeah,
right.
Once you're totally numb and dead inside, you'll think it's come to appreciate
it. It's not bad.
It's come to appreciate its finer points.
Well, all right. On that note, can you come back tomorrow? We're going to be doing another one of these, so...
You betcha.
All right. Well, thank you. And listeners at home, or wherever you may be, why don't you come back tomorrow? But first, if you want to go, why not revisit The Last Jedi or Solo, A Star Wars Story? It's available now on digital and Blu-ray. You can get those things from StarWarsMinute.com/Amazon, and you can find just about anything there. And if you do so, then it'll help support the show. And it'll also help get you what you want sooner and quicker and easier and all that good, fun cyber stuff. So go do that. Come back here tomorrow for a brand new episode of Star Wars
Minute.